Greetings, horror fans, and welcome to episode 238 of Frightmares. I'm your host, Austin Proctor, and joining me across the table for the last time of the year is Corey Johnson.
Heyo!
Nice. It's a good heyo to end the year. This is your last episode of the entire year. This is our top 10 of 2023. This is actually the sixth installment of our top movies. Because we started in 2018 with this. That was actually our first episode. Here we are, 5 years later, doing our sixth installment of this.
I just can't believe it's already December. Like, it hurts.
Like, I remember starting this year off with you and the witch in the window. Yeah, and it was great.
I don't even remember that episode.
So long ago, but it's like, geez, it doesn't feel that long ago anymore.
No, it really doesn't. It's like last week was Thanksgiving. 2 weeks ago was Christmas. Or not Christmas. Because Halloween is my Christmas.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
2 weeks ago was Halloween, and then like a month ago was 4th of July. That's how it feels.
That's how it feels. But no, here we are. End of the year. Today, we are recording this on December 20th. Of 2023, and this will be, like I said, this will be your last episode for the year. We're doing you're doing your top 10. I'm doing, so every year that I've done this, I've had to do a different top 10 with each co-host. So my top 10 with you this year is going to be my top 10 new finds for 2023. So not like new finds for the year, but like new finds that I've never seen before. So ranging from any year. That, you know, like this is,
I didn't know I could have done that.
No, that's I have to do that. This is mine because I have to do three different top 10 lists.
Okay.
Because I have to do a top 10 with you.
I was about to say, I could have had a way bigger list.
No. So my top 10 with you is my top 10 finds of the year. Then my top 10 with Spencer will be my honorable mentions for the year.
Okay.
And then my top 10 with Gabby will be my actual top 10. But gotcha. I have to do three different lists with all you guys. And I try to keep it fresh and different and interesting every year. So this year I
forgot that's how you did that.
Yeah, no, you're. I know. It's been so long, but it feels like it was yesterday that we were just doing this. So yeah, I have 10 movies here that I've only seen one time that I'm putting on my list. You've seen 10 for the year. God damn it, Corey.
And only because the rest of this week has just been so hectic for me. Like, one of the movies I have on there, I wasn't going to include because I'm very lukewarm about it. But it rounded out to be my 10th movie, and I just didn't get to see another one this week.
I know, you were in D.C. this week.
And Virginia.
Yeah, you've had a week, so.
Yeah.
We need to just dive right into this. There's no horror news.
Show.
Yeah, there's no horror news this episode. I have to do three different segments with three different people, and we're trying to keep it to about an hour 15. So, without further ado, I always start with my guests. Your number 10 for the year.
As we lovingly refer to it, Meathregan.
Meathregan, yes.
Megan. Megan. I rated it a 3.5.
Okay. Wow. So everything is a 3.5 or higher.
Or no, I'm sorry. I rated it a 3. Yeah, everything is a 3 or above.
Okay. That's good then.
Yes.
I'm glad there's no like half stars on your list.
No.
Fuck this movie.
No, and I will say that like after this one, my appreciation for this list just skyrockets.
That's great. At least you have 10 movies that are all rated very well. It could have been worse. It could have been like I have a 1 star on here, unfortunately.
You're going to be, you might be surprised at some of the ratings.
Well, if it's anything like any of the other top 10s, there's usually one on there that I haven't even fucking heard of. That's how it always goes. My number 10 for new discoveries this year is Frostbiter, Wrath of the Wendigo. A lot of these are actually movies that we've done on the podcast because there's a lot of good movies that we've done this year that I had never seen. So a lot of these, you're going to be like, oh, you did that on the podcast. That is being one of them. I love Frostbite or Wrath of the Wendigo. Great trauma movie, even though it wasn't a trauma movie. I think they just distributed this one. But we did that
still
one.
Still counts.
Still counts. It's got trauma on the back. And that's what they are. They are a distribution label or whatever you want to call them. So that is my number 10. Your number 9 of the year.
My number 9 at a 3 out of 5 is Knock at the Cabin.
Okay. That's a solid one.
I had a lot of fun with it, even though, like, months and months before, I had accidentally been spoiled on it, like, with the thumbnail of a YouTube video. Didn't even watch the YouTube video, but just from the way the thumbnail was formatted, like, I understood the whole bit of what was going on. But that's I watched it, and I'll tell you what, Batista acted his ass off.
So good.
Rupert Grint, what's wrong with you? Why do you look like a rat terrier? Like, are you okay, man? Does somebody need to, like, come check on you?
Yeah, do we need to make a wellness call for him? Yeah, Batista is amazing in that. He wants to break into more, you know, like, dramatic roles. And I'm like, this is your segue, bitch.
Yeah, no, and I would love to see Batista specifically in some more horror as well. Because he just has that, like, number one, he looks like a fucking menace. Like, he could play any villain he wanted to, and I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, all right, yeah, it's fair. You just look like a villain. My number nine is a movie from the set. I think it's 1979. It's Tourist Trap. That's another one we did on the podcast. Such a great, wild, wacky movie. I think it was 1979, I believe. We covered it on the podcast, so don't really need to go into too much detail with that. Your number eight.
My number eight at a 3.5 out of 5 is Clock. Did you see Clock? Oh, yeah,
Clock. That was a weird
fucked
one.
Up movie. So
a weird one.
So I watched that with Jessica, and after the movie, she just turned to me and goes, you know... I don't know how I feel about that movie. And I go, no, that's fair. I'm going to rate it based on how it made me feel during, but I have no opinion on. And she's like, that was so disturbing. I was like, yeah. Well, welcome to the movies we watch.
You also have Melora Harding in that movie, who is from, well, I know her from The Office as Jan. That's where she's from. She plays a doctor in that movie and very well.
Holy shit. Yeah. I am.
Did you just now realize?
Yes. Today I learned, holy shit.
Yeah.
And I never even made the connection.
Second I saw her, I was like, this motherfucker.
And see, like, I'm tangentially a fan of The Office. Okay. Like, I'm never going to put it on myself.
Okay.
But if you put it on, I'll sit and watch it and enjoy it and laugh at all the right times.
That's fair.
It's not a my choice thing.
Yeah. No, so, I understand
but
that.
Now that you say that, oh yeah.
That's her.
That's mind blowing.
So my number eight is The Witch in the Window. By the way, Frostbiter was a 4.5. Tourist Trap was a 4.5. Witch in the Window is a 4.5. That's one we did. That was our first episode of the year that we did this year, was that movie. And I thought it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good, especially for, like, a made for TV movie.
Yeah, it was fucking for Shudder. So. And the amount of times I saw the witch in the window in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, there she is. Oh, there she is again.
So like, every other scene, yeah, you're like, once you notice it, you're like, oh, now y'all are just being heavy-handed with it.
I watched, like, you know, like a recap of it, and there was, like, six other times that I missed, and I'm like, son of a bitch, I thought thought I was doing good at this. Your number seven.
My number seven at a 3.5 out of 5, Appendage.
Appendage, the Hulu one.
Yes.
The movie was, like, malignant weird. It was so good.
It was basically Hulu's version of Malignant, yes. I had a lot of fun with it. I thought the kills were really good. I thought the story, you know, it did meander. It was quick.
Yeah, it was a quick one.
Let me pull it up and tell you who is in it, because I cannot remember. You've got Hadley Robinson, who has been in some stuff.
Things and stuff.
She was in Little Women. That was one of the things that she's most known for. The new one.
The new... Oh, okay.
The remake.
Gotcha, okay.
With Emma Watson, I think. Was she?
No, Florence Pugh was in that, right?
One of the
ladies of things.
Emma Watson, yeah.
Oh shit, then okay.
and Saoirse Ronan.
All right.
Oh, and Florence Pugh, yes. So we're both right.
Oh, so we're both right. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. My number 7 was another one from earlier this year, and it was a movie called Relic, not the creature feature from the 90s. Mm. Unfortunately, it was the IFC Midnight, I believe, Relic. Very fucked up, very stressful.
I have
movie.
Seen that, too.
Is way
good. Once you said IFC, I was like, no, I've seen that IFC.
It's about the daughter, mother, and grandmother story. It's almost like in the same vein of Deborah Logan, where it's about a disease.
Because
Deborah Logan was that about Alzheimer's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one's about like Alzheimer's as well. It's a very subliminal kind of fucking movie. It's very good though. Your number 6.
My number 6. And now I gave it a high rating, but the only reason it's lower on my list is because I am going to classify it as a horror second.
Okay.
Comedy first, that being Renfield. Rated it a 5 out of 5 because it fucking hilarious.
So how is that not higher on the list?
Because it's comedy horror.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm ranking it lower is because it was comedy first. And I'm sorry, nothing about Nick Cage, no matter how much makeup you put him in, is scary ever.
It's supposed to be. It's definitely not supposed to be. They were definitely going for horror comedy.
Oh no, 100%.
So goddamn funny.
But yeah, no, it was hilarious. But I also was like, so Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah.
Is
comedy horror.
Comedy horror.
Yeah.
But it's also got like way more gore to it.
Did you not see Renfield? There was so much gore.
Yeah, but not the same kind, like throwing a person into a wood chipper.
Well, there was more like CG glorification of gore, CGI glorification in Renfield.
Yeah.
But it was very cartoony blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. I don't have a problem with. That's just why it's not higher on the list.
Well, that's fair. That's totally fair.
It's my list.
My number 6 is a movie called Pontypool, and that is from 2009, I want to say 2008. And it is a very bloody movie about zombies, but like it's crazy because if you watch this in 2008, you're like, wow, this is a great brand new story for zombies. This is like revitalizing zombies. And I'm like, okay, probably not going to be the case since I'm watching it 15 years later. Still the case.
Mm.
I was like, ooh, this is like a new breath of fresh.
Yeah. And that's hard.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I figured since it was so old, I was like, ooh, it's not going to have the same effect. Had the same effect. I was like, man, this is like a completely different zombie story. It's focused on like a radio DJ in like a little tiny section of, I'm pretty sure it's Canada. And yeah, it's wicked. So if you haven't seen Pontypool, that is currently streaming on Shudder and AMC Plus, go check out Pontypool. It's got a 3.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd. I gave it a 4.5. Also gave Relic a 4.5. Everything on my list is a 4.5 or a 5. So there you go.
That sounds awesome. I might go watch that.
Pontypool is legit, and it's only 96 minutes. So without credits, we're talking an hour and a half. So you're number 5.
My number 5 out of 3.5 out of 5. With the caveat that I am probably going to change that once I rewatch this movie, just because I didn't fully understand the ending, Black Mold.
I've heard nothing but amazing things about that. And
it's really good, and I want to give it a higher rating once I understand it. Because I just it makes me feel dumb that I don't get it. Because I always get endings. That's my thing.
Did you not look up like an ending explained?
It's like brand new. So like a bunch of people haven't got. So let me rephrase.
Okay.
The people that I watch for the breakdowns have not gotten around to it yet.
I was going to say, has FoundFlix not done it yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Then we got to get in his DMs and be like, do fucking Black Mold. I'm trying to watch that because I need to get two more horror movies in for the year. And that's on my list that I'm going to watch this week before I do my top 10. Because I've heard nothing but amazing things about it.
And let me tell you, like, excuse me. So remember how when we talked about Impetigore, we were like, God damn, every single one of these like frames is a piece of like painted art.
Art.
So I say very similar things about that, about Black Mold, but instead of it being like painted art, Herder, it's video photography, but it looks like a piece of photography.
Jeez.
Like in the framing. Like
a Tubi original.
Yeah.
That's a Tubi original.
Blew me the fuck away.
All right.
And whoever did that needs to get a promotion and be allowed to build their own separate creative teams. Like, all right, I'm putting like you eight together, you go make a movie. Yeah. I'm putting like you nine together, go write a book. Like, go do shit.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that from not only you, but I've heard that from another person that was saying the cinematography is just gorgeous. And yeah. I'm like,
and
not that I don't believe in Tubi, but I'm like, wow, Tubi? Okay.
And even though the characters are out doing some dumbass shit, it's not like I just straight up for no reason hated these characters. Because, you know, you get the, like, three young adults out on the adventure type shit, and you're like, oh, all of you are insufferable. What the fuck is this? Like, no, fuck you. Go to the situation and die. These people, I was like, well, you don't necessarily deserve what's going on with you.
Okay.
Who hurt you?
Who hurt you? Please tell me. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's on my list to watch. I need to do that ASAP. My number four is... Wait, no, that was my number five. Sorry. My number five is Amsterdammed, which is a, it's a fucking amazing movie. 4.5 out of 5. We did this on the podcast.
It's so fun.
Yeah, Amsterdam's a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure it's still on Shudder. Me and Mikey reviewed that one. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun with that one. Your number four.
My number four, the 4.5 out of 5, is Hell House Origins, LLC, The Carmichael Manor.
The longest fucking title. Oh my God.
It's so funny because the camp is just split 50-50. You either are like, this is a perfect addition to the Hell House universe and it makes perfect sense to me, or this is a bullshit addition to it doesn't make any sense, doesn't wrap around at all. Fuck this movie.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect addition in my opinion. Way better than 2 and 3. I mean, I like 2. 3 sucks. No offense to anyone who likes that movie, but this one is like, okay, this is the sequel that I've been wanting for since 2. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I love Hell House, LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor. Subtext. My number four is Shudder, which we reviewed this year. That movie was fucking insane.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Yeah. That one gave me like the hooky spookies at night for like a few days afterwards. And that, like, I had seen it before, but rewatching it with like a critical eye and like paying attention to the scares, it's like, and then you wake up like a week later and your back hurts and you're like, no.
Yeah, you're like, ah. Which didn't take long for me and my tall ass. I was like, oh shit, my back hurts. Yeah, Shudder. And that's from like 2008. That's another one that's like 15 years old that still was effective for us. Oh my God. All right, top three here. What's your number three for the year?
My number three at a 4.5 out of 5 is Evil Dead Rise.
Yes.
Just because, like, I had to watch the movie and I stopped it and then I had to go back and rewatch the movie because I was just not in the headspace to be in that movie. And once the violence started, because it doesn't just like start out with a little bit of violence and then ramp up. No, it just drops in. It just drops into straight up ultra violence, a la goddamn Clockwork Orange. Like, it's just heinous.
You're just like, oh, heinous God.
Acts
yeah.
of violence on camera.
The second they were like, oh, this drone would eat your face, I'm like, that's going to happen to someone. They're talking about how the drone
yeah.
would, like, basically fuck your face up or something like that, and then someone's face gets fucked up. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, the yeah. whole the whole
movie.
And the whole bit with the broken mirror glass, like,
yeah.
where she,
she's, yeah, yeah. She eats the, and it just goes down. You're like,
yeah.
Yeah. That is, that's gonna be I think that's gonna be top three for everyone this year. Honestly, my number three is a movie called Tenebrae. It's a giallo film that me and Michael reviewed this year. Also gave Shudder a 4.5. Tenebrae gave a 4.5. Tenebrae is just an all around good time. It's probably my favorite giallo to date, and that's why it's on this list. Your number two.
My number two. At a 5 out of 5
Ooh.
Is When Evil Lurks.
Oh, that's not your number. Oh, wow. I have.
It is. Now. It's an Argentinian film that is just so, so broken.
Please fix me. Fix like, me.
Like, just that entire movie is just so drenched in oppression and sadness, and oh my God.
I have no idea what your number one is going to be. I figured that was going to be number one. Now I'm very intrigued. I'm trying to think. There's only one other thing I can think of right now. Okay. That's all I have in my head. You might even give me something that I don't even know about. Let's see. My number two. Ooh, this is not something we reviewed on the podcast like Pontypool. I Saw the Devil. Yeah. It's so fucked up. That movie
And see, I know I've seen that, and I'm like flipping through the filing cabinet in my brain.
You've definitely seen the title card.
Who's in it?
A bunch of, I think it's I'm pretty sure it's Korean.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about. It's when you said Korean.
Yeah, I Saw the Devil. Yes, yeah. Okay. Oh my God.
Yes.
Is so fucked up. It is so ridiculously fucked up. Details. Yeah, South Korea. It is a Korean movie. I don't know why South Korea pumps out all these just detrimentally hurtful movies, if that's even a phrase to me, but God damn, every single movie they put out that's a horror movie, I'm like, why? Why are you doing this
to me?
I mean,
there's been some horrible atrocities that have happened on that peninsula.
That's
so
fair. But it's just like, God damn, their horror movies are just, not only are they all 2 hours, they're just like, oh, like they just, like, they bring me down. I'm like, this is so hurtful. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so much. All right, you're number one. What is it?
My number one at a 5 out of 5, the movie I have probably talked about most on this podcast all year, Beau's Afraid.
Oh, shit. That's from this year?
Yeah.
Why did I think that was last year?
Nope, came out this year.
Oh.
Came out like the third week of January or some shit.
I have to watch that before the year is up. Oh, my God. I did not know that. I thought that was last year.
Nope, came out this year.
Shit.
Yeah, it came out at like the very beginning of the year.
Fucking 3-hour movie. God damn it, I have to watch that. Okay, it's been sitting on my shelf for so long, and I was like, I'll watch this when I have time next year, because it's not going to be in my top 10 this year because it was a 2022 movie. Oh my God.
April 14th, 2023.
April? The fuck have I been?
I don't know, man. You gotta sit down and watch it tonight.
Shit. Okay, yeah, Beau is Afraid, Ari Aster. It's not surprising he's on that. Okay, all right.
Because as I have said before, and I will say again, the only reason it's allowed to be called a movie is because somebody recorded it in a movie-like fashion. But outside of that, no.
No, stop it. My number one is going to be very satisfying for you, and that is Satan's Slaves.
Hey, you finally.
5 out of 5. We did that a while back on the podcast.
So we did that a million and forever ago, back on our very first Foreign Frights.
No, we did a standalone episode on this year.
Did we?
Yeah.
Forgot that episode too.
That's how crazy this year has been. So yeah, that's my only for this list. That's my only 5 out of 5 because that movie was goddamn ridiculous. I didn't put Satan's Slaves 2 on the list just because I already had the first one on there. But Satan's Slaves 2 is damn near as good.
Oh yeah.
Damn near as good as the original.
It's so. Ugh.
Yeah, both of those movies. Watch those back to back. And try to sleep after that. Oh my god. You won't. So yeah, that is my top 10 new discoveries of the year. Corey's top 10 of 2023. This has been a great year for horror, and I'm very excited for next year, especially because me and Gabby will be doing our frights of 2024 next episode. But until then, I have to do some fucking editing magic, and let's welcome our next host, Spencer Lafferman.
Hi.
Every time. Don't have time for bullshit, Spencer.
Well, I mean...
Sexy.
I don't... Yeah. That's straight to the point.
Straight to the point. Hey, hello. So we are going to be doing... You're going to be doing your top 10. I'm going to be doing my top 10 honorable mentions, and I have been changing it up until right now. I can't fucking make my mind up. I've got too many good movies this year, but I think I've done it. And let's not waste any time. Let's get right into this. I do have to. I guess I have 5 secondary honorable mentions I want to talk about for 2 seconds. So the 5 that didn't make the cut: Last Voyage of the Demeter, The Blackening, Cobweb, Horror in the High Desert, 2 Minerva, and Bo is Afraid. So those were just shy of making it into my top honorable mentions. So those were good ones I wanted to talk about, or at least bring up, because I really enjoyed those. But without further ado, your top 10, my top 10, honorable mentions, go. Number 10.
Mine is Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh, okay then. I guess we would have mentioned it anyways. What star ranking did you give?
I gave it 4 out of 5.
That's what I gave it, yeah. I thought that one was really good.
I think I gave it more than 4 out of 5 because it was better than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't really expecting much, to be honest, because there wasn't a lot of marketing. The trailers, you know, they look good, but it didn't look like it was going to be much, which, I mean, at the end of the day, I guess that's why I bombed.
Yeah, they did.
I get bombed hard.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
that's what happens.
I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that one, did we watch it streaming? I think that's where we watched it. We didn't watch it in theaters because we missed it.
Oh, yeah, I saw it in theaters, and then it went, I think, like, because of the bad, it bombed. It went to like VOD or whatever rather quickly.
Yeah, that's where we watched it, and I quite enjoyed it. My number 10 honorable mention, runner up, whatever you want to call it, Five Nights at Freddy's. That's like Voyage of the Last Demeter or Last Voyage of the Demeter. I can never get that name right. I don't know. I really enjoyed it, and I've never even played the video games, and I had a lot of fun with it. Plus, Matthew Lillard is awesome and deserves more love. I read this thing that he said he thought his acting career was over until he got that, and I was like, who the fuck's not hiring Matthew Lillard?
Well, I mean, what was the last movie he was in before this?
That's true.
Like nothing. I mean, nothing against him. I would have thought the same thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I'm trying to think what he was in. I mean, well, no, he wasn't.
His career boomed in the 90s, and this is no like disrespect to him, but like he had a big career in the 90s. A little bit in the 2000s, and honestly, after the Scooby-Doo movies, he kind of disappeared from movies.
Oh, well, he's been doing a lot of Scooby-Doo animated films, apparently. Holy shit, he's done a lot of those. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, he does voice. I forgot about that. So his voice acting career is not bad.
His voice acting career, yeah. But yeah, because after like, yeah, after 13 Ghosts and Scooby-Doo, oh, he was in Without a Paddle, too.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about that movie.
It's a good one.
Jesus. Your number 9 for top 10. What do you got?
When Evil Lurks.
Ooh, okay.
4 out of 5.
Okay. All right. I figured that was going to make most of our list. That was a really good one. That is definitely in my top 10 for Shursky.
That was a, honestly, that was a, I went to the theater blind watch. I was honestly bored before work, and I just was seeing if there was anything playing, even if it was something I wanted, you know, I've seen before, just to get out of the house. And I saw this. I'm like, I have no idea what this is. but it was foreign horror. And I'm like, well, those are usually better than regular, than English horrors. So whatever. So,
yeah.
And it got out about half an hour before I even had to go to work. So I just, you know, I packed up my work stuff. I went to the theater. Saw
nice.
The movie, and yeah. So
I would have loved to see this on the big screen. I just caught it on Shudder.
It was an experience.
That movie is fucked up.
I'm glad I saw it in the theater. I mean, I think I would have been okay either way, but like that is definitely one that like I'm happy I did see in the theater.
Was there anybody else in there?
There's like two other people.
two other people got traumatized with you.
Well, it was on a Thursday, so it was like the first showing or whatever, because it was opening that weekend apparently, but I still had no idea about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's see here. My number nine is, I rated Five Nights at Freddy's a 4. My number nine is Cocaine Bear. I really loved Cocaine Bear. It was so much fun. Ray Liotta getting disemboweled by baby bears was quite fun. And just everything about that movie was just a lot of fun. We've had a lot of good like horror comedies this year.
Lot of fun ones.
A lot of fun horror movies. And then to counter that, we've had a lot of serious ones too.
Yeah.
But my top 10 is like a lot of fun movies. There's a couple serious ones in there, but honestly, like my honorable mentions are there's a lot of like just good fun ones. Like Five Nights at Freddy's, good fun. Cocaine Bear, great fun. That was one I bought immediately, and I've rewatched that a couple times. Haven't got Five Nights yet because I think that just released on 4K recently.
Yeah, I think it just came out Tuesday.
So, but yeah, I'll get that eventually. Your number eight,
Birth Rebirth.
Oh, dude, yes! I'm so happy that is on someone else's list. That movie was so fucking like underrated.
Yeah, unfortunately, I meant to go see this in the theater. I even had tickets to see this in the theater.
That one came to theater too?
Yeah, shit. Yeah, honestly, a lot of these, just like The Watcher, a lot of like IFC / Shudder movies, they'll have like a brief, like week theatrical run if they think it's gonna do well in theaters. Like,
interesting.
I mean, so like The Watcher was the first one I noticed. You know, Birth Rebirth came out before Evil Lurks in the theaters.
Yeah, okay.
But I missed it. Like I said, I had tickets, but I think something came up where I was just so tired I slept through it or some shit.
Go, yeah.
But I'm glad, but like I was really happy. I actually had it on my watch list or on Vudu Forever to see if it went down cheap enough. But then Shudder got it beforehand. I'm like, okay, I have Shudder. Like,
yeah,
it's cheap. So yeah, so that I gave a 4.5 out of 5.
That's what I gave it.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was a great take on like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And very almost kind of like Reanimator vibes.
But it also felt original, even though it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Which win-win.
It just felit like a modernized version, honestly. It's very good. That'll be popping up in my top 10 for sure. My number eight is Influencer. We actually had the director on, Curtis David Harder. Shout out to him.
Oh, nice.
For an episode. And yeah, it's just a solid indie flick. Did you see that one?
I believe so. That was the one where the girl's like on an island and she'd be friend. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I saw that one.
I really enjoyed that one. Yeah, so
that had
to be in my honorable mentions because it was just so good. Let's see here. Your number seven.
Saw X.
Wow. Yes. It's funny. Mine is lower than I thought it would be on my top 10. Most people are probably like, that's going to be your number one. It is not my number one.
It's not my number one either.
No.
It's close. It's at 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah. That's what I gave it as well. I think the only thing keeping me from giving that movie a 5 was the fuck awful hair that Shawnee Smith had. It was just so bad.
So it's funny.
So bad.
You know, I mean, yes and no. Yes, it is bad, but also no because that's kind of the hair she had in.
Oh, I know.
It's just, you know, now that she's older.
It looks so bad. Oh, my God.
That's not why I didn't give it a 5. I didn't think it was better than 3, and 3 is my absolute favorite.
Well, yeah, that's another reason, too. I still
to this day don't know why 3 is, like, my absolute favorite, but it's, to me, it's better than 1.
I have a thing with third movies. I don't know what it is. Saw 3, Friday the 13th Part 3. Halloween 3. I don't know what it is. The third movie.
Is Freddy 3? Is that
Dream Warrior? Yeah, Dream Warrior is like, I don't know what it is with third movies,
yeah,
but
that's weird.
That is like my favorite. Except for Child's Play 3. Child's Play 2 is my favorite. Child's Play 3 got weird as shit. My number 7 is Meethreegan, or Megan, if you want to call it that. Again, another just fun comedy horror that had, I don't know, I went into it expecting absolutely nothing. I was just like, this is, you know, it's January. This is like the first horror movie I'm seeing of the year. I don't expect anything. So much fun. And then the unrated cut, not like it's much, much more gory, but they added in a few pieces, like moments of gore in like specific spots.
They added a couple pieces to the puzzle.
And I was like, okay, cool. Taking it up a notch. I totally appreciate that. So, yeah, Megan was a good time. Oh, Influencer was a 4-star. Megan was a 4-star as well. You're number 6.
Brooklyn, 45.
Oh, shit. Okay.
With, 4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
The only reason why I didn't get a perfect score is because, honestly, the last, like, 10 minutes of that movie could suck it. I did not like how that movie ended. I understand why it ended the way it did, but I would have not gone the route it did, personally. Oh. And it's the same reason why I never gave The Mist a 5 out of 5. Fuck that ending, bro.
Yeah, that ending is rough.
I mean, it's a brilliant ending, but like...
Yeah, if you would have just waited, like, how impatient are you? I'm this impatient.
And the fact that it was completely different than the ending in the book, he came up with that ending himself, like, you're a brilliant bastard, but also fuck you, bro. Fuck you for doing that.
Yeah, the I looked up like an ending explained just to kind of see, get some answers, and the ending does make sense, but yeah, I was like, oh, damn.
It still is like, ugh.
There's one person I'm like, I don't feel like they deserve to die.
Yeah, right?
So what the fuck? But yeah, that is nice. I'm glad that one got mentioned too. Good. Good.
I love Brooklyn 45, actually. A lot more than I expected.
Yeah, that's...
I would say out of this entire list, even though it wasn't a perfect score, it was my surprise of my top 10.
Okay, all right. My number 6, M. Night Shyamalan, Knock at the Cabin. I really think this one is not slept on. I don't know. I feel like people really hated this one, but honestly, I think it's one of Shyamalan's best in like the past 15 years. But okay, The Visit was pretty good, but... I don't know. I just thought Knock at the Cabin was fucking fantastic. I had such a great time with it. Batista killed it. I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. And even Gabby, I'm not alone on this. Gabby really enjoyed it. It was in Corey's top 10. So it's definitely one that was nice. Let it out. But yeah, Knock at the Cabin. Good time. I mean, not really a good time. It's pretty emotional.
If that's your idea of a good time, seek help, bro.
But, you know, Jonathan Groff is also in that. He's fucking amazing.
He's a great actor in anything he does.
Such a great actor. I've heard whispers and rumors of Mindhunter possibly getting a third season, and I'm like, for the love of God, yes. Please give me more Mindhunter.
Well, maybe, which I guess it makes more sense now because Fincher just came out with... His passion project movie The Killer, but the graphic novel, which I'm a huge fan of the graphic novel, so like I fucking ate that movie up. Like that would be probably if I just had a regular top 10 movie, yeah. That's in my top 10 for sure.
Nice. Okay.
Like I really hate that it's on Netflix though, because I would love to own that, and I don't think Netflix is going to allow.
Yeah, they're very hit or miss with their physical.
So,
media.
I mean, if they do give it a physical physical version, sure.
Maybe Lynch would put, you know, he might push for that. That's something.
He could. I mean, honestly, the fact that, you know, Nolan pushed for Oppenheimer and Oppenheimer literally sold out physically.
Bro, I know. I'm so glad my Walmart had a copy because I went to buy it on Amazon. It was gone. My Best Buy didn't have it. And I was thank God for Walmart.
I unfortunately could not get the Steelbook. I couldn't find it. So but I got the Icon version, which the Walmart exclusive. So I still got an exclusive.
Okay.
So I'm not
upset. There you go.
Honestly, like, I wouldn't have been upset either way as long as I got a copy because I know that was going fast.
Yeah.
But like... When was the last time a physical copy new release movie sold out everywhere, including Amazon? I can't remember.
I can't even remember that.
If that's even ever been a thing in our lifetime.
Yeah, for like a wide release. Like obviously there's plenty of out of print Scream Factory titles. Yeah. But like
and it's not like it's the first Nolan movie ever made.
No, he's made like 7 or 8 or 9.
Yeah, and none of them have ever like The Dark Knight maybe had a small like sellout, but not like Oppenheimer.
Yeah, that shit is gone.
So like, yeah, if you don't have Oppenheimer yet, you need to snatch that shit up quick.
Do it quick. I guess we're top 5 here. What's your number 5?
Scream 6.
Scream 6, really?
4.5 out of 5.
See, that's interesting because I feel like the people who liked Scream 5 didn't like 6 because I loved 5.
I loved 5. 5 and 6 have the same score for me.
Oh, weird. Okay. I give it a 3.5. Like, I thought it was a great movie, but
so,
I don't know.
To be honest, other than the reveal, which was the most predictable out of all the Screams.
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
Maybe that's why.
All of it. Was solid predictability. Like, my brother Jake, like, I took him to see it, and, like 30 minutes of the movie, he, like, leaned over to me and goes, hey, is this, like, these people? I'm like, fuck you, bro. Just watch the movie. As much as, like, I want to say yes or no to him, like, fuck you. You have the same weird mind as me sometimes, and I hate it for it. But, I liked, the way I liked it is, you know, so, obviously, the original, all that, like, they're good, but, like, what I liked about this one and the one, you know, they took it out of Woodsboro. They gave us a fresher take more than the Scream 5, which, I mean, they still gave us a fresh take, but they're still in Woodsboro. This one literally was like a Jason Takes Manhattan type of scenario, but way better and less corny.
Well, yeah.
And I just liked the idea of that no matter where they go, they're not safe.
Yeah, that's fair.
From a person.
Yeah, I also just need to, I've only seen it once, so I do need to give it a rewatch and see if my mind changes, but I was just like, eh, about it when I first watched it.
I mean, I saw it twice in theaters, I saw it once I bought it again, and I feel the same way. Other than the reveal, I thought everything else was pretty perfect.
Okay, fair enough. My number five is VHS 85. I'm a huge VHS fan, and this one was fucking awesome.
I haven't seen that yet, it's on my list though.
It was great. It's on the longer side. It's almost 2 hours. Usually the VHSs are, I think the first one's almost 2 hours, but usually they're like,
they're about 90 minutes.
90
usually.
Minutes, hour 45. But this one had, this one did something that no other VHS has done, and it actually connected two of the stories, which was really cool.
Maybe that's why for the longer runtime to give the right amount of time.
And that's not really a spoiler. Once you see it, you'll be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a 4 out of 5. Knock at the Cabin also had a 4 out of 5. You're number 4.
Totally Killer.
Nice.
4.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I just love the whole 80s vibe of it all.
Yeah, I'm also a huge Kiernan Shipka fan.
Yes.
I love her.
Like, she's
and
great.
And everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like upset with Netflix about the whole Sabrina. Like,
yeah.
It was good, but like they knew they were going to cancel, so they kind of just like, for the last like season and a half, they kind of just fucked off and got lazy with it. And she was great in it, and so were all the other actors involved, but like the show itself, not so much.
Yeah, she's also in a movie called The Black Coat's Daughter, which she's brilliant in.
Yes.
She's so good in that.
I've known her as weird as this is going to sound, but like I've known her since she was a little kid when she was in the show Mad Men. She played John Hamm's daughter.
Oh, shit.
So
okay.
I've basically known her since her first, I guess,
like real role.
Real gig. Yeah. So I've kind of like followed her like acting career since then.
Yeah, no, that
she killed
sense.
It as a as a child.
Straight killing it. Well, my number 4 is Brooklyn 45.
Nice.
Yeah, coming in also at 4.5. It was just, I loved how isolated it was. It was in one room the entire runtime, which is not easy to do. It was very dialogue driven, which again, not easy to do. This movie did so much that I feel like horror doesn't typically do. A la being in the same room, heavy dialogue driven,
and all of the horror of it all was you had to listen through the dialogue. There wasn't really any like there. That was really, I mean, there was a few
spooky moments.
Yeah, but like 90% of it, the horror came from the dialogue and the ending.
Yeah, and the ending, but like it was so good, and that's a Shudder original, I believe, or at least an exclusive, so you can check it out.
Just Shudder something for sure.
Shudder something for sure. You're number 3.
No one will save you.
Nice. Okay.
I gave that a solid 5 out of 5.
Nice. Okay.
That was. I also am a very big fan of
Caitlin Dever.
Yes.
Fantastic actress.
Like, I first discovered her in another TV show, Justified.
Yeah, and I know. I think we've had this conversation.
Probably.
I discovered her in Last Man Standing, which was
the TV show,
Tim Allen show, and I was like, oh, I love this actress. She is so funny and she's so quirky. And then, of course, you know, saw her in Booksmart, and then I saw her that she was doing a sci-fi horror. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, let's see this. There's like one line of dialogue in that movie. Utterly amazing.
It's very, like, just like with Brooklyn 45, it's something you don't see a lot in horror. You like, there was a lot of, so with Brooklyn 99, there was more like, or 99, that's a totally Brooklyn 45 was more tell than show, because you're just hearing it, so they're telling you, versus
this
No One Will Save You,
all
show.
Yeah. And you saw an alien like 4 minutes into the movie, and I was like, I didn't think we were going to get a reveal this
year. Yeah, and then the whole movie is just like, yeah, well, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. And then
there's
some truly horrifying shots.
But honestly, like, the crazy thing is, like you know, once the movie's over, you realize it didn't matter when the alien showed up because it wasn't about that.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, very, very Twilight Zone-esque ending.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Well, my number 3 has already been mentioned, which is perfect, and that's Totally Killer.
Nice.
4.5. I loved the Back to the Future horror mashup. It was a lot of fun. And of course, the 80s vibes were great. And Kieran Shipka, again, I can go on and on about how awesome she is. But yeah, totally killer. Totally awesome. Your number two.
Evil Dead Rise.
Okay. I have no fucking clue what your number one. This is just what happened. Same thing happened with Corey. I'm like, what's your number one going to be?
Honestly, once I say my number one, you're like, that makes sense.
I can't think of anything. Yeah.
But yeah, Evil Dead Rise, 5 out of 5, solid.
Yep. That's
obviously.
I feel like that's going to be, I said this with Corey, I'm pretty sure that's going to be everyone's like on the podcast top three for sure. Yeah, there's not much to really say about that one. It's just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
5 out of 5 all
it's
day.
It's great.
My number two is Renfield, 4.5 out of 5. I mean, it's Nick Cage's Dracula. I don't know what else you need in a movie.
I needed more Nick Cage's Dracula, really.
Yeah, I guess so.
I really had to like say what I needed.
Was more of him. The only reason I didn't get a 5 was some of the CG blood was a little cartoony for me, and I was like, can kind of take
which
you out
funny,
of it.
Which is funny, but like that was actually the point of that all. Like the violence was, and honestly, funny enough, like you and I are going to have drastically different opinions about this movie. I didn't love it, which we talked about briefly when it first came out. But what I did really love about it was the stylized violent scenes. The scenes that took you out of the movie, I fucking loved about it. But,
I love the scenes. It's just some of the blood. I was
honestly, to me, I thought that was some of the best part because like I was expecting a campy horror like that. And I liked Nicolas Cage as Dracula. I thought that was great. I loved the stylized violence. But everything else I didn't like.
Oh, wow.
Like, I didn't really like any other story surrounded by any other character in that movie.
Damn, okay.
So I just felt like it was a different movie, and like they tried to do multiple movies in one in a 90-minute span, and that is – you can't really do that
for me personally.
So yeah, I didn't like love the extra stuff in it, but like, obviously Nicolas Cage as Dracula –
Chef's kiss.
Just give me more movies of that.
Right. So you're number one.
Talk to me.
Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. That makes sense. That's totally fair. That movie was fucking awesome.
Yes.
Movie was very well done. A24 did it again.
That was obviously 5 out of 5.
Sick. Okay. I'm very excited to see what they can do with the sequel. It's going to be interesting. Talk.
Is it a sequel or a prequel? Has it been confirmed?
Well, I mean, like,
yet?
It's another movie, but okay. It's going to be focusing on the guy from the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning.
Yeah,
that's why I wasn't sure if
it'll be a prequel.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's super exciting. And my number one, has already been mentioned, is No One Will Save You. Great sci-fi alien movie.
Nice.
So good. 4.5 out of 5. So there you have it. Spencer's top 10. My honorable mention top 10. It's been a great year for horror. We have one more segment to do, and that is with my wife. So please welcome Gabrielle Platt.
Did you unmute me? Yay! Thank you.
Always got to get something in there, don't you?
She said, oh God, anybody.
Are you drunk or something?
I'm in a weird place. Saltburn's a weird movie.
Saltburn. Oh, Saltburn, the gay movie you're watching.
Honestly, not that gay. Based on, to be clear, I was told by somebody else there would be a lot more graphic gay sex scenes. I haven't seen one. And there's 20 minutes left.
Do you?
Unless the last 20 minutes are gonna pop off real hard.
Do you frequent gay sex scenes?
Not in this film.
What are we talking about? Jesus. My goodness. So what's it about?
Saltburn?
No, I'm just kidding. We're doing our top 10. I'm finally revealing my top 10 of the year. You are revealing your top 10 of the year. Yeah, let's just get into this. We got to just do this. It's got to just happen. I don't want this episode to be too long. I showed you Corey and Spencer's lists already, just so you know what's going on. But yeah, you're number 10 for the year.
Influencer.
Oh, wow. That cracked your top 10 ski.
Haunted Mansion was going to be up there. But honestly, Influencer, I really enjoyed it. I liked the twist. I really liked the take on how influencers work and whatnot. I kind of enjoyed it. Honestly, same vibes as Saltburn in a weird way.
You kind of enjoyed it. It's my number 10. Kind of enjoyed it.
Not as much as the other 9 above it. Jeez.
Yeah, that was my number 8 and the honorable mentions. My number 10 of the year is a movie called Birth Rebirth. Spencer mentioned that in his top 10. is a brilliant take on Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, like I already said. And it also...
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that.
Well, we can watch it.
Okay.
It had kind of Reanimator vibes, too, but not the part of Reanimator that you not like.
Yeah, okay.
The rapey bits of...
The rapey bits? Yeah. Yeah, those are the bits I don't like.
Not in there at all.
Specifically those bits.
Not in there at all. Delightful. But yeah, Birth Rebirth on Shudder. Check it out. It is a brilliant movie. 4.5 out of 5. What'd you give Influencer?
Oh, crap. Sorry. How do I make it the list way? There we go. I had it the wrong way. I wanted to make sure I started 4 stars.
4 stars. Yeah, that's what I gave Influencer as well. Your number 9.
Scream 6.
Okay, that cracked Spencer's as well.
Now,
explain.
Like I said before, I do not think it's the best in the franchise. Overall, the logic, not to say the killers have particularly strong logic rolling for them in any of the movies, because it's always like... something offended me and now I'm killing people or the movies.
Your mother was a whore and I killed her.
Pretty much. seems to be a running theme. But the whole, oh, well, you killed someone and you're a killer, so we killed people because you killed people. Like, that doesn't... What? That didn't make sense. However, it's homage to the second film I really did appreciate. And, of course, Kirby was back and... that was going to get a boost.
I think
anyway.
She's going to be the only one involved in Scream 7 at this point because
is Courtney Cox out.
Not Courtney Cox isn't out, but I mean, spoiler alert: Dewey's dead. Nev Campbell? Question mark. It wouldn't make sense for her to return since she wasn't in 6 or
Patrick
5,
Dempsey's never coming back.
Yeah,
I mean, it's implied that he's married to Sydney, but.
Yeah. It would be really cool if we just saw Kirby investigating another unrelated ghost face. You know what I mean? Someone inspired by the events of 5 and 6 to take up the mantle of Ghostface in a completely different fucking town. And since she's FBI and connected to the one in 6, she's on the fucking case. Come on. That would be...
It needs to get really convoluted. Like, hey... Gail, you did a story about my cousin on this one topic, and that ruined their career, and now I'm going to kill you.
Now,
as Ghostface.
Yeah, I don't know.
No relation to anything else going on in any of the franchises. Or like, oh, you were dating my brother, and he got killed by Ghostface because of you. Now I'm killing you as Ghostface.
Stomp my foot. I'm mad. Yeah. we haven't mentioned this because I haven't done horror news since this came out. But yeah, Christopher Land and the director of Saw 7 has exited. So Melissa Barrera out. Jenna Ortega out. Christopher Landon out. Who the fuck is... There's no one tied to this movie anymore. There's no director. There's no actors. That's it.
Yeah.
No one's time to Scream 7.
And frankly, overall, the films have always been really strong. I mean, like I said, this one was honestly the weakest for me because I know a lot of people don't like 3, but overall, it's still got the main cast going, which is a really important point.
Yes.
And they are still out-metaing themselves at every turn. This one was the weakest for me. However, the most violent, in my opinion. It's a strong franchise overall. I don't want them to jack it up just to make another movie.
No, we covered this in episode 200. Not only is it strong financially, it is also strong ratings wise. It is and story wise too. We discussed this. So it is one of the strongest franchises that exists today. People want to.
It's extremely self-aware, and that plays a huge part.
And they out-meta themselves in nearly every fucking movie. It's very impressive.
Yep.
That is why I'm worried for Scream 7, because they've done so good up until this point. And I'm like, oh man, they're either gonna scrap it all together.
Yep.
Or they're gonna pull it together and hope for the best.
Really though.
If we can at least just get a Scream 3. Well, no, we can't get a Scream 3. Never mind. We can't even get the same people to return.
That was 4 stars, by the way.
4 stars, okay. Mm-hmm. My number 9 is Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor. Too long of a fucking title. My God. The only reason this one didn't get 5 stars is because of the fact that the main actors in the movie should have left 5 minutes into the movie, and they just kept that one chick was like, we're staying.
Oh, I would have been like, best of fucking luck.
Deuces.
See ya.
Yeah. So that's honestly, that's the only reason it didn't get five, because there was no reason for them to be there after a certain point. But I mean, it definitely was like the spookiest one since the original, which has 5 stars for me because that movie is perfect. But yeah, 2 and 3 were eh. But this one definitely brought back the original kind of spookiness, and there was a lot of good scares in that movie. So it's a 4.5 out of 5 for me. Your number 8.
Oh, that was my number 21, by the way.
That was your number 21?
Yeah, I counted it real quick for you.
Ew.
My number 8. Ooh, Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear. Wow. Okay. All right.
Also 4 stars. Oh, this is okay, where it okay. got muddled, because the next one, Cocaine Bear and Scream 6, I was kind of a mush of...
Yeah. Ugh.
However...
And we didn't get to rewatch Scream 6, but...
Yeah. You know. I really thought about it, and overall, I had more fun with Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
Like
I already mentioned, Ray Liotta getting disemboweled by tiny baby bears.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Delightful.
You're going to be kind of surprised by my number 8.
Oh.
Well, because I think... You think it would be higher, but it's Saw X.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that is my number 8. I know, everyone was probably thinking it was going to be my number 1 or number 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. No, my number 8.
That's my 15.
Okay.
There is a 4-star zone that a lot of movies were going to be in the top 10, but then a bunch of shit came out at the last minute that really bumped a bunch of stuff down out of the list.
That was my honorable mention. I had so... Don't you look at my list.
Yeah, because I can totally see what those are.
I see. No, that was my honorable mention 10. I had to mention 5 other ones that didn't make the cut because I had like 16 4-star movies from this year.
That's hard.
Because my total count for the year is 60 new movies for the year. I should also mention that in between recording... So me and Corey... We did our recording on Wednesday the 20th, right? Then me and Spencer did our recording on the 22nd. We're doing our recording on the 26th. I know, it's one seamless podcast, though, because of magic and editing. But in between me and Corey and me and Spencer's episode, we watched Beau Is Afraid.
Yeah.
Because Corey told me that was one for this year, and I was like, holy shit. And then we watched it that night, which is surprising, because usually when I say I'm going to watch something that night, I never do.
Yeah, that...
But we did.
Do you think I forgot to put that on my list?
Wow.
It wouldn't have been in the top 10 anyway.
I was
going to
say,
anyway.
It wouldn't have been in the top
10. It wasn't for me.
But yeah, so these recordings have taken place over nearly a week. I don't know where I was going with that, but it was a good time to go down that rabbit trail. So yeah, Saw X, number 8. It's just, I don't think anything is ever going to top Saw 3, like me and Spencer already mentioned, but this was a wonderful addition to the franchise, and I actually did find out that Saw 11 is going to be taking place directly after the events of Saw X, so we're going to see Cecilia again, and we're going to see all that stuff, so it's a direct sequel to Saw 10.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because you liked that one, right?
I did. I just thought it was funny they were doing another one. Like, where can we shoehorn in another plot? John's been fucking busy.
Yeah, he's been busy in between 1 and 2, apparently.
Man, don't sleep.
Yeah.
No wonder the cancer got him so quick. Man was running himself ragged, like, constructing all those traps or bed rest.
Well, that's why they killed him off in 3, because he had a lot of shit that was going on between 1 and 2.
He was tired.
He was the cancer didn't kill him. The exhaustion killed him.
He wasn't actually laying in bed because of the cancer. It was a mandatory bed rest from all the events.
Dude, you have been running around from Mexico to whoever knows where next. But yeah,
a lot of these traps are fucking huge, man. You're not supposed to be doing this.
You gotta stop this. Amanda's no help. But hopefully, we should see Hoffman a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, your number 7,
Renfield. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah. It was gory. It was fun. I really like Nicholas Hoult. So,
and Jenna Connell.
Yes. Also, yes. yes. And I like Awkwafina. It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
And I'm also, you know, big into vampire films.
Oh, yeah. That's
Nicolas Cage really committed to the bit.
committed to the bite.
Yeah. So it was a good time for me. So that one's also 4 stars.
Oh, okay. I figured you would have given that one 4.5. What?
No, we got 4.5s coming up, and my top three are my only 5 stars.
You'll see here in a second. My number 7 is Talk to Me, 4.5 stars.
I thought that was going to be way higher for you.
Well, you're going to see from, I have 6 5-stars this year. I'm a whore with giving up 5 stars.
Yeah, but you watched this movie so many times.
Well, because I think it's brilliant, but I don't think it's perfect. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between masterpiece and brilliant and 100% absolutely perfect film.
Fair.
I think this one is brilliant. I really do. But, you know, we'll see what happens with the next one, because maybe that'll be a 5-star with how they connect it to the first one. Because I think if they can connect it enough and make it seamless, like going into that first scene, that'll probably be a 5-star movie.
Probably.
Yeah. But if not, maybe I'll swap them. Maybe I'll make this one a 5 and I'll make that one a 4.5. We'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. Your number 6.
Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah. I figured that was going to be up there.
4.5 stars. It was a fun time. We waited a long time for it. And,
we did.
It was stressful at some points. I feel like if everyone had stopped sitting on their asses and left town, a lot more of them would have survived.
I mean, probably.
Let's be fair. A lot of horror movies, the problem could have been solved if you spent less time waiting for everybody to group up and everybody just left town from wherever the fuck they were.
All right. We got 5 people. Let's go in 5 opposite directions.
I'm just saying 4 people are going to make it a lot longer.
Yeah, no, Thanksgiving was great. That's going to be mentioned here in a minute. My number 6 was Godzilla Minus One. So let me explain. Since the rest are 5 stars, I'm going specifically based on rewatchability. That's the only way I can differentiate 5 stars. Not that I don't think Godzilla Minus One is the least rewatchable, but it has the longest runtime and it's just emotionally fucking draining. Like I think it is a perfect movie, but
it was rewatchable to me.
No.
I saw it twice in theaters.
It's rewatchable. I'm just saying, with the other movies that I'm going to mention, I've watched every single one, well, except for 2, more than once. But that one is just, like I said, it's the longest runtime. And it's just like, I was, just, you know, after the theater, I was like, that was a perfect movie. But man, like, I'm so sad. Like, there was so many emotions going around in my head. I was like, I'm gonna need a minute to rewatch that.
The only review I had seen prior to watching that film was that the human story piece, which is a big part of Godzilla movies, was just as compelling as the action, and they were 100% correct. That poor bastard and all his PTSD from World War II was crazy.
Yeah, well, and you had like a couple different groups of people that you were following around, you know?
Yeah.
So that was really fun. Well, I mean, you had one main guy, but he was with,
like,
you know,
people around him you were also following a bit.
Yeah, because he had, you know, the girl that he was with and then the group that he was with. So you kind of got, like, 2 different little storylines that kind of, you know, meshed in the middle.
Yes.
Your number 5.
Knock at the Cabin.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be up there.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Dave Bautista. I mean,
everyone that has mentioned this one has just been like Dave Bautista.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone knew him as a wrestler. The first film I ever saw him in, it was a barely scripted role. Like, he barely spoke. Man with the Iron Fist. He was the guy that went gold.
Okay.
And which people didn't think he had the acting chops. Well, then he goes and does Guardians of the Galaxy. And now they're going to put him in comedies. Like, no, if I want to be good at something, I want to be great at it. And he's like, I don't want to just do comedy acting, because that's what, if you really look at it, that's what 99% of wrestlers end up doing. And he's like, no, I want to do serious work. And everyone was like, oh, I wonder how he'll be in this. And he was fucking compelling. Yeah. I think no one should question his acting chops or his ability to carry a scene.
He was great in that. And I'm very... I know that movie, it was kind of mixed reviews, you know, like a lot of people liked it, a lot of people didn't like it. It has a 2.9 on Letterboxd. So, I mean, I don't know if that was just the movie itself, but I hope that lands him more serious things. I know he's going to be in Dune 2.
Yes.
Which I don't think he was in the first one. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit in there, but
I think he might have been like Aaliyah. But
so you know how they take the planet from another family, and those family are like, we're gonna assassinate these bitches.
Yeah,
that's his family. More of that family is gonna show back up.
So I hope he just
gets Atraxes. I can't fucking say anything in that movie.
I hope he gets more on that. My number five, Infinity Pool, 5 out of 5. It's one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen. I've watched it 2 or 3 times just to try to wrap my head around it. I will tell you this. If you watch the uncut version, oh boy. Oh boy. You thought, we discussed this on the Rare Exports episode. You thought seeing a cum shot was a lot? Watch the uncut version.
Okay, you know how I was saying before this started that Saltburn's sex stuff was no more gross than other things we've seen?
Are you referring to this?
I was referring to this. This is the exact topic I was referring to.
Now, I really doubt that it is Mia Goth's hand on Alexander Skarsgård's penis, but you see hand on penis cum shot. And I was like, holy shit, are we allowed to do this?
Is this not porn? This is porn.
This is porn, right?
It's not that, but you do, I did gag a few times during the scene I was watching, so.
Yeah, and then you see Mia Goth just full frontal of a lot, and I'm just like, she is very, very just committed to this shit, my God. But yeah, Infinity Pool was one of the wildest movies I've seen in a long time. Not that Possessor wasn't good.
Like, this plot was easier to follow somehow.
No. The plot was definitely more, like, not convoluted. The plot in Possessor was a little bit harder to follow because Infinity Pool was just, it was just chaos. You're killing clones of yourself, but are they the clones of yourself or are they not? And you just go down the rabbit hole. I thought Possessor was a little harder to follow. That's why it has a 4.5. This has a 5 because I have no words.
So I saw 37 movies this year.
Let me guess. That was your 36th?
God, no. There were worse movies.
Oh, okay.
It's 34. At 3 stars, though. Keep in mind, a lot of the lower half is 3 stars. I only had 2, 2.5, and 1 1-star. So.
You know, To be fair, I'm trying to think back on the other two segments. I think I'm the only one to mention Infinity Pool.
Yeah, so.
I don't care.
I don't know what that says about you, but it's saying something.
I love Alexander Skarsgård, and I love unhinged, actual voice Mia Goth, because she's using her actual voice in that. She's not using her weird, her actual voice, she sounds like a fucking cartoon character.
She does.
a British cartoon character.
So what you're saying is you want to watch True Blood?
No.
Alexander Skarsgård is a lead in that show.
I don't need to see more of him naked.
Just cause you don't even see his dick till like the last season or something.
Shut up.
And I didn't realize that was going to happen. I'm like, oh, well, there it is. I was literally just look over. I'm like, ah.
Penis.
Oh, all right. There he is.
Penis for your thoughts. You're number 4.
My number 4 is Evil Dead Rise at 4.5 stars.
All right, so this cracked everyone's top 5. Got it. Cool.
Gore galore is what I'd call Evil Dead Rise. Yeah.
And what the fuck are your top 3? Okay, I know you're number 1 for sure.
Do you?
Oh, for
do
sure.
Do you? Yeah. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there.
I know what it is. My number 4, Thanksgiving, 5 stars, is a perfect film. It was, even though the killer was like the third person I predicted. No, I gave it a 4.5, but then after, you know, like since we actually got the movie, I just gave it, you know, I gave it that extra half to give it 5. Plus, it's going to be very rewatchable for sure. Like no matter what, I know that movie is going to be so much fun to watch every year. And it's also nice to get another Thanksgiving horror because, like, you know, like I've mentioned before, maybe that was a TikTok, I don't know. But you have Blood Rage, you have Thanksgiving. There's other ones, but those are the two big ones. So it's nice to actually...
Other films.
Some other ones, you know, set around Thanksgiving. But like those are the two big ones that I watch every year. So it's nice to finally add another to the roster for Thanksgiving. And that's something I can watch with you. Because I know you tolerate Blood Rage for me. You won't watch Thanksgiving. So it's nice to have a Thanksgiving movie that we can watch every year.
Yay!
So exciting. You're number 3.
Talk to Me. 5 stars.
Way up though. You gave that one 5.
Yes. I really enjoyed that one. I thought it was a very interesting concept. definitely interesting take on grief and pain.
Yeah.
And what happens after we die. I liked it. I thought it was a cool film.
Yeah, and I love the everyone getting together to like get possessed. That was so fun. Like,
side note, now knowing that A24's Talk to Me Hand is in fact a bong, we can't have a bong in our house.
Yes, we can.
That's irresponsible parenting.
You can get high and raise a kid. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, boy.
That is so much better than being the drunk parent that doesn't show up. I could still get high and show up to things. I might be late and smell a little funky, but I'll be there.
Oh, boy. all I'm saying is we could just, like, make our own.
With Plastidip?
Yeah, I know how to do that. I've done that before.
If we win the lottery or something, if I get $100 on a scratch-off, I don't care. I'm buying that shit.
Yeah. Well, I won $4 in my Christmas stocking scratchy lottery.
That,
so
put that towards
it back in the system. More scratchy lotteries.
I'm just saying, if we come into any sort of money, like I have to.
We'll go get more scratchy lotteries. It's not like that $4 was something I was counting on over here.
It's only like $110. But yeah, I didn't know it was a bong. And then Will messaged us and was like, check out this hand from A24. I was like, yeah, I know about that. He's like, it's a bong. I'm like, no, it's not. And then I clicked on it and I was like, oh,
it is indeed a bong.
Good grief.
Yeah, geez, babe, they want art that's functional. Just like the Midsommar Temple is also an incense burner.
All right, my number three, Evil Dead Rise. I don't know what else you want from me. 5 stars. It was perfect. It was the greatest Evil Dead to exist. Fight me. I don't care.
I don't remember. Oh, I think I half a starred it because I didn't actually want to see that cheese grater scene.
See, honestly, like, I should have dinged it because it wasn't even that
Yeah,
gruesome.
Except the fact that I knew it was going to happen at all skeeved me out bad.
Like, there was a couple things from the trailer that didn't live up to the hype, but I just think it was so good, and how they wrapped the story around to the beginning was, perfect movie. 5 out of 5. Your number two.
Godzilla Minus One.
Okay, see, yeah, I know what your number one is.
No, you don't. Shut up.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we talked about this. It was a great movie. I saw it with my parents and brother, and then I took you back to see it the next weekend because it was just a great film. My mom is now obsessed with it and wants merchandise.
Well, yeah, you went to see it, and I had something to do, podcast or something.
Yeah, you had a podcast.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, I really want to go see that because it has a 4.2. I was like, I have to go see it, but yeah, we went to see it.
Oh man, as soon as he like gets on land and then the music starts, you're like, oh no.
Bam 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 bum 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 bum.
Yeah. And that's the hilarious moment I realized that intro from the song Simon Says was the Godzilla music, I've only ever heard it from Simon Says so many times that I didn't realize that's what that was.
I know, you were like, that's the Godzilla song? I'm like, yeah, that's the original, like, OG 54 Godzilla.
And now somewhere in my mind, I'm realizing somewhere is a memory seeing that, yeah. But I don't know what it's from.
All right, I'm going to let you just say your number one, so that way I can talk about my number two, and then I'll say my number one.
Oh, so you just want to make sure you can talk the longest at the end?
No. Oh, no, because I don't have anything to say about it. It's just it's my number one because it's my number one. I just want to talk about the same thing at the same time.
Fine, what is it?
The Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh, fuck you. I mean, it was so fucking good.
I know. The only reason it's not my number two is because it's not a movie. It's a TV show. And I know we said we could, if you can rate it, you can put it on there.
That was your fucking room.
No, I know. But it's not a movie. And this is, you know, technically top 10 horror movies.
So it's number two for you because you just said it's not your number two.
Yeah, it's my number two.
Yeah, you said it wasn't.
Sorry. It's my number two solely because of the fact that it is a TV show. Well, miniseries, whatever.
I mean, Carla Gugino, like 10 out of 10 performance.
11 out of 10.
That woman kills it in anything she's in, but she absolutely nailed the performance. Such an interesting use of the story of the Fall of the House of Usher, because remember when we first saw what it was going to be, we went and watched the movie Fall of the House of Usher, like the old ass
one. Vincent Price from
exactly
60, I think.
And we watched it and we're like, okay, well, if it's about a whole family, then how are they going to do that? And I was like, well, they're going to be killing off the family somehow. And then I said, what if they're using it as the overarching story so they can kill off the relatives using different Edgar Allan Poe stories? Because it said it was covering multiple stories. And you're like, nah. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. I think it was eight episodes.
Let me see how many kids were there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then that one, 6.
Fall of the House of Usher, 8 episodes.
Damn it, I was too short.
Yeah. Yeah, and every single episode was entitled, you know, so we have The Mask of Red Death. That is a...
That was insane.
That was the second one.
Yeah, I know.
Murder in the Rue Morgue, The Black Cat, The Telltale Heart, Goldbug, The Pit and the Pendulum, and The Raven. And then the first one was A Midnight Dreary. I don't know if that was...
That was where they were discussing the mother.
I don't know if that was a Poe story or not. I mean, I assume it was.
Sure. But it's a line from a...
You have a lot of... You know, every single one is named after like a... It's so brilliant. Mike Flanagan, God damn you for being so good. Like, there's no way... Like, no other director besides, like, John Carpenter has had as many hits, in my opinion, as Mike Flanagan.
And his are always so rich, and the characters are interesting, and you always feel like this character could be bearing their soul to you, but he always does such a good job of making you feel like you don't 100% know these people, exactly. So you don't 100% know what to expect. There's always something hidden behind them. So that makes it so much more interesting and so much more like they're just rich characters, and he could have easily made them all. There's plenty of movies where the characters should have been rich, but they were one dimensional.
Yep.
Never the case in his stories.
No.
And he knows how to work a good jump scare, because a couple of times we freaked out. So that was fun.
Yeah. And I loved his jump scares in this one, because sometimes it would be like, it would be cutting back and forth between two characters, and then it would cut back to one character, and there would just be someone in the background. So it's like a jump scare, but there's no,
There are a few of those, but it wasn't all of them.
Yeah, it would just be like, oh, there's someone there. Like, ah, fuck, there's someone in the background.
They start moving, you're like, holy shit, how long have they been there?
How long have you been there?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was my number two. My number one, When Evil Lurks. Not a surprise. You probably could have guessed that as well. But don't make that face.
That was my number 13, but I told you why.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The kid deaths were upsetting.
There was too much child trauma, and as a new mom, I couldn't do it.
And I know I'm a new dad, but I always appreciate when horror movies go to that level of killing kids, because everyone's afraid to do it.
Yeah.
And then they did it.
No.
So there you have it. My top 10 of the year. Gabby's top 10 of the year. It's been a fun... I think it's been a great year for horror. Other people have thought different things. That's fine. I don't know. I've enjoyed most of the stuff I've watched, although I have seen 60 fucking things, so I don't know how many people or how many films normal people watch. What did you watch? 37?
Yeah. Which is surprising, because it's only 5 less than last year when I did not have a baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
You watched 42 last year?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, there you have it. That is your last episode for the year. Next year, we're going to be doing themed months. There's going to be some director-themed months, and then there's going to be some months that I couldn't connect a director into the month in a funny way, so I just made up my own theme. But in January, we are doing January Carpenter, and we're going to be doing 4 John Carpenter films. Yes, we are starting off the year with Halloween. I know everyone reviews this on every podcast, but since I am not a huge fan of the original, I have my buddy Michael coming on with me to try to convince me otherwise that this film is a 5-star movie, and we will see how it goes.
Yeah, I think I've seen it once, so I got nothing.
You're going to watch it with me.
Oh, okay.
We're doing it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to watch all 8 of them with me.
Oh, no.
Oh. Okay. Well, and then next year I also have a new theme song and a new little intro that's going to be a lot of fun going into our 6th year of Frightmares. Thank you all for listening. New listeners, old listeners, we love you all. I appreciate all the support we've gotten over the past 5 seasons, 5 years, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to be that guy. Until next year, stay tuned and
stay spooky.